Leslie Webster, head of the market risk department of Chase Manhattan Bank, receives a lead 30-page report that summarizes the value at risk of the bank. The document is generated during the night by computers. They quantify the risk of all the trading positions of the bank. So what is VAR? Well, simply put, VAR is just the worst loss of the bank over a targeted horizon with a given level of confidence or probability. So that is VAR. Well, more formally, VAR describes just the quantile of the projected distribution of gains, profits, that is, and losses over the targeted horizon, maybe 1 day, 2 days, or 10 days. Right? So it is just the quantile or percentile, more simply, right, of the projected distribution. Right? For instance, if a 95% confidence interval, the VAR, the value at risk, is just such that it exceeds 5% of the total number of observations in that distribution. So that is real, but you don't need to know this actually, of course. So now, there has been a demand for computing power because the banks, financial institutions in the G10 countries, they are required to calculate their value at risk, by this so-called Basel Accord. So the banks in this Basel 1996, the banks must calibrate daily the value at risk measure to their daily profit and loss. And these VARs are predicated on the confidence interval, confidence level of 99%. So the banks are required to provide, in other words, VAR measures on the positions, on the bank's positions. So banks must identify the number of days when trading losses, if any, exceed the VAR. So this story is taken from two of the famous books in the literature. Now, to compute the VAR is easier said than done. Easy because it's just the percentile of a distribution. So it's just the left end of a histogram. But in actual practice, for a bank or a financial institution, it's a very computing demanding task. So you can imagine that the bank will have a lot of investments, a lot of positions in the market. It has positions in the equity market. It has positions with options, positions with futures, bonds, the forex, and warrants. And of course, all these have different ways to evaluate all these products. They have different formulas. So it's actually a very complicated task. You can imagine that if there's 1,000 products, that of course already a very demanding task. Now, so there traditionally there are many ways to compute the VAR, the value at risk for the bank or the financial institution. So this is one way, that is the so-called delta normal method. That works only, however, for options. So more importantly, a more powerful method is so-called the Monte Carlo method, which is shown by this flowchart. So this, you require historical data. So how the stock market performs in the last few years, and also a stochastic model on the right-hand side. So you input this, you compute the future performance, the future rates of your positions. So this will also coupled with your formula for, say, computing the value of the option, formula for computing the value of the futures, and so on. And this will give you, ultimately, finally, a full evaluation and a distribution of values. So that is the Monte Carlo method, very powerful. But also it has one important drawback, and that is the demand for computing power. So imagine that you have, I said, 1,000 products, then you have to generate 1,000 sample paths for these 1,000 products. That amongst the median calculations. And if in the very final step, when the variations tab, you still need simulation, then there would be simulation within simulation, right? So that means a lot of calculation, and that requires a lot of computer power. So that is just an example for a hypothetical company, right? So to run that in the old system, it takes a few days to work out all this. So that is quite computing demanding. Right? So I said, right, to calculate the so-called variant risk, you also need statistical models for the time series. Right? And in fact, the Nobel Prize for economics in 2003 was awarded to statisticians who has made contributions in the development of financial models, right? But stochastic financial models. Now, this will be coupled with the so-called high-frequency financial data. Right now, we can have tick-by-tick data, so we have very precise measurement, precise observation on the financial market. So that would combine to give us a lot of information. How to exploit this kind of information is very important. So here, consider one such stochastic model. It's called the threshold stochastic volatility model, which is important in computing the VAR and also the option pricing. So this estimation is by means of a simulation method known as the Markov chain Monte Carlo method, which is computing power demanding. So this is an example where this is tracking of the estimation of the model. This is an example for our Hang Seng index. So, and these are the final product. These are the distributions of the estimated parameter of the model. So you can see that they have various histogram lines, bell-shaped curves. And then the final product that we're aiming at is these two figures on the right-hand panel, which is the upper one is for Hang Seng Index and lower one for the Standard & Poor. And from here, this distribution is actually for the first trading day of 1987. So in here you can predict from here the so-called variant risk using these two distributions here. So there's one useful application of stochastic models in finance. So all these require powerful computing computers to do the job. So we can safely say that without computing power, it's difficult for us, for Hong Kong to be considered as world-class, for the Hong Kong financial market to be considered as world-class. So we need all these powerful computers to help us. So thank you very much.